Medicare D saves money, fake nursing schools, are you an amazing nurse? And we're going to take a look at hospice and palliative care nursing. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to welcome all of you to the program this week. We have a lot coming up for you on this week's episode, but before we get into all of that, I do want to remind all of you that there is a lot of great information you can find over at The Nursing Show website, nursingshow.com. Once you're there, you'll see links in the top of the page right there for the show notes of each episode, and you can find all of the episodes listed there and additional resource links to all of the episode tips, to all of the interview segments. Anything we have there is all available for you as part of that segment. And I hope you will continue to take a look at it and head over there and leave comments there. Any of those articles that are over there, published in between the episodes, other information published there, all available for you. And of course, you can also sign up for the Nursing Show newsletter. If you want to get the email newsletter for the Nursing Show, you'll find a sign-up form right there on the front page as well. Head over to nursingshow.com and keep in touch with the Nursing Show that way. Of course, you can always send me an email. I love getting emails from each of you, so send those emails in, nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from each and every one of you, and it's great to do that, and I try to make sure I respond back to every single one of you. If you haven't heard from me in a week or so, send me another email and say, hey, Bonehead, you didn't get back to me. I try really hard to respond back to everybody, at least of something short, if nothing else, and to just let you know I got your email. So keep them coming. I love to hear from you. If you want to also catch up with me other places, you can, of course, find me over on Twitter or Facebook under the handle PodMedic. And you can find me, of course, on the Nursing Show fan page on Facebook. If you want to become a fan of the Nursing Show, we have over 1,100 fans and growing. Continue to grow that resource by heading over to the Nursing Show fan page. You'll find that at facebook.com/nursingshow. And if you see a link there, you know, make an effort, share it on your Facebook page with your nursing friends and encourage them to become a fan of the Nursing Show as well. Just click the like button right there at the top of the page. We'll get on into the news segment here, coming right up. Let's jump on into this week's news items, and I want to start off with a look at a news item on Medicare Part D. What's Part D? Well, a lot of you probably already know this, but Medicare Part D is the drug program, the drug plan, the medication plan that was added to for prescription drugs to Medicare back in, I think, 2006. It's largely been accused of being just a huge additional drain on the public, and that we maybe haven't seen any kind of reward. There was the hope that it would get more medications in the hands of senior citizens who don't have the resources to purchase expensive prescription drugs, that they don't have other health care coverage beyond Medicare. And it was confusing and it was hard to fill out. Believe me, I helped my dad get through it and my mother, and it's just been it's not the easiest program to understand. And even President Obama recently talked about it negatively in a recent speech on drains on the federal budget that are causing us to have this deficit and recession and continued economic issues. So is it good or is it bad? Well, interestingly enough, a recent study has pointed out that it may actually be saving Medicare money on the back end, on the cost of hospitalization, nursing home care, rehabilitation care, and other things, because possibly, according to this study, because people are having more access to medications that are controlling chronic problems and giving them the ability to not have to seek emergent care or require nursing home stays. The study looked at 2,500 people who had had limited prescription drug plans or no prescription drug plan prior to Medicare D, and found that there was a savings of over $1,000 per patient on non-prescription-related Medicare spending associated with their claims for reimbursement. That is a significant amount of money when you look at that on a per-patient basis. Now, they also looked at about 3,500 patients who had previously had really good prescription drug coverage in other plans, and Medicare Part D, they saw that there was some savings, but not as significant a savings, probably because these patients were already well managed by medications and therapies that are available through prescription. But just to something to think about, I mean, you know, we often talk about, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think that this is an indication of that. If medications don't solve everything, you know, the polypharmacy issue for a lot of senior citizens is huge. But when you look at the fact that this program, by making medications more available to these patients, has actually saved the system money in the long term in other areas, makes this plan, it's still an expense. It's not paying for itself by any stretch, but at least as an expense, it is certainly covering some of the additional expenses and not as expensive as originally planned, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So we'll have to keep looking at this. This is the first study like this I've seen. And, you know, it does point out, and we'll talk about this in upcoming weeks, or some other things I wanted to talk about that have been pushed into other episodes, that talk about prevention saving money. You know, a dollar spent in prevention is worth a lot more money when you look at reduced costs for things like accidents, when you do something to prevent motor vehicle accidents, when you do a campaign to educate people, when you provide more resources for certain things, you can prevent problems that occur down the road and the incurred expense that happens with those problems. So we'll have to keep looking at this, but it is something interesting. And since it had come up in the talk recently by the president on the budget crisis that's going on right now, I thought I would just point out this article, I think, was released rather in a timely manner. I don't think they planned it this way. This study was done and they were getting ready to publish it. But it certainly does have something to say about that cost. And we need to be very careful about where we prune the budget. You know, we have an aging population. Anything we can do to reduce healthcare costs, which is a significant drain on the budget, is certainly going to have a positive effect. Next up is a rather alarming story. This was actually out of a Jamaican news site, website, but it has to do with the fact that several Jamaican medical organizations, medical programs, or nursing schools have been named, or at least one has been named as a culprit in a nursing school scam here in the United States. And they're denying that. But what's happening here in the U.S. is people are going out and advertising for nursing schools. Go to nursing school. Get your LPN, get your RN through XYZ nursing school. And when you go and you sign up for that school and you pay tuition and you go to school and you go to classes and you think that it's an approved program and they tell you you're going to be able to sit for your boards, and then you go and you find out from the state nursing board, well, you didn't graduate from an approved program or an accredited school. That is something that seems to have happened in the state of New York. And people are out thousands and thousands of dollars in fake tuition money. They spent years going to school. They spent all this time trying to get through this program, only to find out that they were unable to actually sit for their tests and wasted the time and wasted their money. This is a significant issue. What does it mean for us as nurses? Well, you know, it's like this. We need to be able to stand up for our profession and support our profession. And one of those things that I like to say that we should be doing is we should be encouraging people to become nurses, and we should be vigilant about encouraging them to do so in a responsible way and help them to find resources that are appropriate for their economic ability, for their time, time availability, whatever the case may be, you know, part-time, full-time, whatever. And this is just one indication of that. And one thing I counsel students, prospective nursing students, all the time is make sure you check to see if your program is accredited by the state in which you are planning on working and getting your license. Because if it's not, you may not be able to get your initial nursing license, sit for your boards from that state in that program. And it's important to understand that. And this could cause you a problem. You could spend a lot of money paying for courses, going through nursing school, and then ending up not having the ability to sit for your test. And this is just one of those issues. The New York Attorney General's press office released a press release about this. They had uncovered this scam. We're reaching into lots of local education institutions because of how they have advertised. And they've arrested and charged 11 people in this thing, multiple counts of grand larceny. So they're stealing people's hard-earned resources, but also their time, and often preying on people who are underserved populations, people that didn't have the money to spend to begin with, trying to find a way to dig their way out of being underserved or under-resourced, poor, I guess you could say. So I think we need to just be vigilant about this. This isn't just happening in New York. It's happening in a lot of places. And I really urge people to be vigilant because there's a lot of people preying on this perception that, hey, you can become a nurse or get involved in other areas of the healthcare careers field and become gainfully employed simply because of that. And that while that's true in a lot of cases, you need to have an appropriate training background from an accredited program to do that. Finally, a quick look at a contest for an amazing nurse, recognizing America's caregivers. A lot of you probably know I also work with Johnson & Johnson's Campaign for Nursing's Future. So this is a disclosure. This is a client of mine. I actually host their Nursing Notes Live program. We're actually going to hear from that program later on in this episode. I thought I would cross over and show you a little bit about what I do over there to encourage you to check out that program. And so we're going to have something about hospice and palliative care later on in this episode. But I did want to point out that they are doing a lot through this program, this foundation, to support nursing, encourage people to become nurses, but also recognize and support existing nurses. And this is an amazing program, the Amazing Nurses Contest, celebrating America's caregivers. They are providing an opportunity for people, nurses and others, to nominate a nurse who they think is an amazing nurse. And this means you can pick that person who's been your mentor through your nursing career, somebody who's inspired you to become a nurse, who's provided an example you've tried to live up to in nursing. You can actually nominate them for this national recognition. I have been asked to sit on the panel of judges to look at this. I'm very grateful that they've considered me appropriate to do that. But I want you to find those nurses out there that you know that are really inspiring you and nominate them. And it's easy to do. You can go over to their Johnson & Johnson Facebook page for JNJ Nursing Notes. If you just put facebook.com/JNJ, that's N, not and, N, JNJ Nursing Notes. You can go ahead and leave your nomination on that page. A quick way to get there is go to nursingnoteslive.com, and that'll take you to the Nursing Notes Live podcast page, which is part of their Facebook page as well. And then you can click on the main part of the page and go find that Amazing Nurses Contest. I'm really excited about this, and I would urge you to find out more about it and find that nurse in your life that you'd like to nominate and take an opportunity and do so. And I'm happy to share this program with you. You know, they have a lot of great resources available for you over there. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter for their campaign, you can go over to discovernursing.com and sign up for their email newsletter, where they bring out links to all of their different articles that they write each month for the newsletter. Once a month, you get this newsletter about a different area of nursing. And then I take the podcast version of it, actually interview some of the nurses, and do a little panel discussion. So we have two episodes a month we create for them there. And I'm excited to be part of that program. So check it out. And again, head over to their Facebook fan page. You can look for JNJ Nursing Notes. You can just search for that and it'll come right up. And I urge you to become active involved with their fan page and nominate an amazing nurse you know. Time now for this week's segment. We're going to actually do that crossover segment, as I discussed earlier, from Nursing Notes Live, the program I create for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is a great part of being a nurse, is just being associated with all of these great resources. And one of the things I get to do is talk to a lot of amazing nurses as part of this project for them. And this is a twice a month podcast we create that comes out associated with their newsletter each month, and it focuses on a different topic area in nursing. And they provide a lot of great resources in that email newsletter, and a short companion for it is two 20 or 30 minute episodes associated with that care area, talking to nurses in that region and care area, and also talking to a panel of nurses and talking about challenges in the future and how to get involved and what you can do to become certified if you're looking to change your career. So it's an interesting discussion and looking at a lot of different aspects of nursing. And I thought it would be interesting to share with you one of the episodes that I produced for them recently on hospice and palliative care. It actually had come up as in a question in an email. Somebody thought that might be a good topic for a future episode, and I went over and contacted my friends over there at the campaign and asked them if it would be all right if I did a cross promotion and talked about their program and gave them people an opportunity, you, the rest of the Nursing Show audience, an opportunity to hear this other program. And you can subscribe in iTunes, look for Nursing Notes Live. You can go to nursingnoteslive.com and check out the shows over there. All of that's available for you. And so listen to this episode. It's good information on hospice palliative care. It starts off with a brief interview with a nurse. The get-to-know nurse each month is a featured nurse about their career and their career path. And so we'll have that featured get-to-know nurse segment. And then the rest of it is a panel discussion between a group of nurses in the palliative and hospice care arena talking about how this has changed, how it's developed, and where it's heading for hospice and palliative care. And we'll take part one this week, and then we'll do the second half of that as the second part of next week's program here on the Nursing Show. So we'll get into that. And again, nursingnoteslive.com is where you can find out more about this show. In this month's episode, Nursing Notes Live will be discussing holistic care and the unwavering compassion and commitment by nurses in the field of hospice and palliative care nursing. I got the chance to talk with this month's featured get-to-know nurse, Pamela Johnson. Pamela is a certified hospice and palliative care nurse and director of clinical services at Odyssey Hospice in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I asked her about what drew her to a nursing career focusing on end-of-life care.
Basically, I decided, I think in junior high school, to volunteer at a community hospital that wasn't far from my home. And I did that once or twice a week, and I went all over the hospital. I was in the pharmacy, and then I got to go up in the nursing units and watch the care that nurses gave and help in little ways, but not that much. But I really enjoyed watching the interactions between patients and the nurses and thought I could do this, and I thought I could really make a difference. And that experience shaped my drive, I guess, to be a nurse. My parents really wanted me to go to college, and I was, no, I want to go to nursing school. I want to go out there and do it as soon as possible. And I did go to nursing school and did that 2.5-year program and graduated and went right to a med-surg unit and did that for about 6 months. And then I went to the emergency room, and I was really kind of driven to do all that high-tech stuff in the emergency room, did helicopter service for a little bit, worked in a trauma unit for some time too, and then ended up in critical care. And I watched the way patients died without their families and with little support, and nobody really talked about what exactly was going on with that patient or the family. And I just didn't think that was the right way for things to happen. And as it turned out, I was newly married, and my husband had a heart attack. And they ended up giving me all the young patients that had MIs, especially the young guys, and talking to their wives about how to deal with somebody young that's having a heart attack. And some of those patients would die. And I just was having a hard time with it and decided that I thought it was time for me to go into something different. So I started to do home care, and that's when hospice was first talked about, and I got to go along with a nurse who was seeing a hospice patient, and I thought, this is it. This is really what I'm supposed to do.
It's funny how you fall into, you were involved in such a broad range of nursing care, really looking for that niche that fits you. And it's
exactly
funny. You get to that one thing and it's amazing how it clicks.
It did. It did for me.
What's one of the things that you find most gratifying? I think a lot of people look at hospice care and they just, all they can see is death and dying. But there's really so much more to hospice care. I think, first of all, that it's care.
It is care, and I think that, I didn't make this bad situation that this patient or this family find themselves in. I didn't make the cancer or, whatever that problem is that patient and family are experiencing, but I can make that situation a little bit better, and I can help them figure out what their goals are, because it really isn't about me so much as it's about them and what they want. And talk about quality of life. And a lot of times people haven't been talking about quality of life. And so when you can help them, and it's not just me. I don't want to say that. It's the team. It's working with the chaplain. It's working with the social worker. It's working with the home health aide that helps with that person's personal care. Maybe if they could get their care done a little bit earlier in the morning, they have more energy later in the day. It's the simple things sometimes.
Isn't that what nursing care is all about? Those simple little interventions that a nurse identifies that really improves the patient's maximum level of health at that time. And that may be not very much, but any improvement is a great improvement.
Well, sometimes it's even about how to schedule the medications, That person hasn't been able to sleep well, or maybe they're sleeping too much, and we can, but they want good pain control, and they thought that both had to go together. And those are the kind of questions that a good hospice nurse is really going to delve into.
Well, Pam, we're going to be moving into a whole panel discussion with some other hospice nurses on these topics, but if you were to encourage someone, or someone were to come to you and say, I'm really thinking about getting into hospice care as a nurse, what advice might you give them to help them move down that path and get their questions answered?
There's probably a couple ways. One is to shadow, ask that hospice, go to a hospice agency and ask if you can shadow just to see what they do, or to volunteer. And there's so many great opportunities for volunteers, just to sit with somebody who might be dying, or maybe just to be there for that person's family. You can kind of see what all the team members do in that situation. We have patients at homes and nursing homes and assisted living facilities, sometimes even at hospitals, and they all could use volunteer support.
Now I'd like to continue our conversation with Pamela and introduce additional hospice and palliative care nurses to talk about key issues surrounding the specialty. Joining us for a panel discussion are Betty Farrell, a certified registered nurse and principal investigator of the End of Life Nursing Education Consortium, known as ELNEC, and Todd Holtman, an ACHPN and president of the Hospice and Palliative Nurses Association in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm excited, as always, every month to have a different featured topic here on Nursing Notes Live. But this particular topic of hospice care and palliative care is near and dear to my heart. My family has been involved in hospice program and in the community, not even as medical professionals, but just as family members interested in this project and program since the mid-70s. And so I have had personal experience as a child and young adult with death and dying of a family member through hospice care, and really am very, very positive about that experience in my life. Betty, tell us a little bit about what brought you into hospice care. Why did you decide that this was the career path for you as a nurse?
Sure. I began my career in nursing 34 years ago in 1977. And my first entree into nursing was working as a nurse on an inpatient oncology unit. And it was at a time when even oncology was very new and the word hospice had barely been heard. I worked for about 3 years in the inpatient oncology unit and was immediately drawn to our patients that had very advanced disease and those who were dying. And I was so intrigued by how they possibly could be managing their symptoms and problems at home when they were so ill in the hospital. So I left the hospital and went to work in home care because there was no hospice program in the entire state where I was living. And so I had the opportunity in 1980 to be involved with starting the first hospice program. And it was at a time where people still couldn't even pronounce the word. When you would say, you know, you were starting a hospice program, people would say, hospice? Or, you know, where is it? So it's really been remarkable over the 34 years to see this thing that people had never heard of or thought only happened across the ocean in, you know, at St. Christopher's in the UK, has now become something that our public expects and that nurses have really led the way in creating this amazing system of care for patients and families.
You know, Todd, I know that it's one of those things. I think people sometimes think hospice care is really all about death and dying, but there's really so much more to providing that real life solutions.
Right. I actually have to agree with that. And I was sitting here smiling as I listened to Betty talk about her entree into the field, and I appreciated hearing that. I think, to me, one of the things when I first went into hospice, and I came into hospice, I actually had worked as an oncology nurse, and when they would be doing the floor assignments, I was the one who was always saying, oh, I'll take that patient, I'll take that patient, and I felt myself drawn to caring for patients who were, you know, experiencing sort of the advanced stages of their disease or approaching end of life in terms of their cancer. And arguably the reason what drew me to it is I felt that I was able to engage in the kind of nursing care that I thought I would be doing when I went to nursing school, that I was able to help people experience sort of hope and joy in their lives and for them to, to sort of work on helping them maximize their quality of life. That, you know, as nurse, you know, when you're in nursing school, you hear about how part of our role is to promote patient autonomy and optimize their functional status. And that was certainly part of it. But I felt that this was a chance to engage in the sort of holistic nursing that I was really drawn to when I first went to school, that it was sort of promoting comfort in body, mind, and spirit, and really allowing them to enjoy themselves for whatever time they had left. And that that was really central to my experience, and that was what convinced me that as much as I enjoyed oncology nursing, that perhaps I was really destined to enter into hospice.
And Pam, earlier you mentioned something about that it's a team approach, which I guess I hadn't really thought about, because we think of team approaches to patient care really being a hospital thing. But there's so many other important parts to the healthcare team, especially in a home setting, including an end-of-life care of people like a chaplain, so that you can bring in all of those various portions of a patient's aspect, their psychosocial and their spiritual and everything else.
I agree. I think that to help the patient see that we're here to help them achieve their goals, you know, that we're asking them to prioritize what's important to them. And sometimes it's one of the best nursing qualities that a hospice nurse has is the ability to pull and to use the team effectively to help that patient reach those goals. So it might mean, you know, she's worked really hard on getting that patient's pain under control, but she's like, I think there's something else, and that a chaplain support would really help this patient. Or, you know, maybe we can try some Reiki therapy, or, you know, I can pull in a therapist for that, or maybe I can try, you know, the social worker really needs to talk to this wife a little bit more. I've talked with her some, of course, but working together as a team, that's when things really get good.
What's one of the biggest issues, Pam? I'll start with you, but I urge Betty and Todd just jump in. What is one of the biggest issues right now, the biggest challenges from your standpoint in providing the best care you can for your patients?
I think the first roadblock for us is the fact that the word hospice scares so many people. If we could, I sometimes think it'd be easier if we had a different word, because there are some people that don't understand what hospice is, and they're so afraid of the word that they don't even listen to what you get with hospice, what the team can provide. You know, I think sometimes if we explained all the benefits first and then tell them at the end of the discussion that this is what hospice is, we get we get more positive responses. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I think part of it is getting back to the point, Jamie, that you made earlier, that so much of what we do is in the service of living, both for the patient and for their family. And people, I think a lot of times we hear the word hospice and they have these almost reflexive thoughts of their head of death and dying or withdrawing medical treatment or medical care, that it's perceived very negatively. And you're right, I agree with what Pam's saying, that people, I think when they do learn about it, oftentimes people say, wow, I wish I had known about this sooner, or I wish I'd started
exactly.
this earlier.
And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to remind all of you to check out the links in the show notes for everything discussed in this episode. And again, this is this particular episode had part one of our hospice and palliative care segment. There's links to information on the Hospice and Palliative Care Nurses Association. You can check that out. And there's links also to the Johnson & Johnson Facebook page for the Campaign for Nursing's Future, and also the links for Nursing Notes Live, the podcast where this particular segment came from. Of course, links for all the news items and everything else, all available over at nursingshow.com, so follow up on those links. You can also always get back in touch with me. I want to hear your comments, your thoughts, and your ideas for future ideas, for episodes, for tip segments, and of course, any corrections I need to make. All can be sent to me either by leaving a comment right over on the Nursing Show website, or send me an email to nursingshow@gmail.com. You can also reach me over on Twitter and Facebook, facebook.com/podmedic. And of course, the Nursing Show fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/nursingshow, growing all the time. And I hope you will continue to support that show, that resource over there, and share some of the links that I put on over there. I try to put up links several times during the course of the week that don't necessarily correspond to the Nursing Show, but just are general nursing information links you might want to share. So share the Nursing Show fan page with people you know on Facebook, and let's continue to grow that community. 1,100 plus nurses now fans at the Nursing Show fan page, and I hope you will continue to support that as well. That's it. We're going to go ahead and close out the show. We aren't going to have any music for a while. We had a little bit of a copyright issue with something, and I'm trying to figure out how to resolve that. A lot of things getting muddied up with playing independent music. Is it really independent or not? And sometimes you take the artist's word for it, and you're getting information from somebody third party. So we're going to just kind of leave that out for now, but I will hopefully maybe bring that back sometime in the future. In the meantime, I urge you to check back here at The Nursing Show, check the articles over on the website, and remember, I'm Jamie Davis, and I'll be back again next week with another episode of The Nursing Show. In the meantime, stay safe. And stay tuned here to The Nursing Show.